Okay, I'm going to switch gear a little bit, talk about a different issue. This information I'm going to talk about here really is a part of a much bigger project. And I should say all the funding for this project, which is about 750K, was raised by Mike, Northern California Golf Course Association. They collect money from a lot of places. And this study is done in collaboration with Michael Young from DRI, Dale Devitt, UNLV, and so Shane Slider and Brett. And I'm going to talk about just my portion of the experiments of the study. I'm going to focus on the results from sorption and also leaching of these PPCP chemicals after irrigation on golf courses. Well, as we all know that, there are a lot of the studies showing the presence of PPCPs in treated wastewater. I think we have to be very careful what to call them. It's, some people like recycled water, some people say reclaimed water. I don't think we should call it wastewater. Well, the concern here is some of these chemicals have endocrine disruption potentials, and so really the concern is an ecosystem concern rather than a human health concern. And well, on one side, we have to get rid of this treated water. On the other hand, in areas like Southern California, Arizona, and New Mexico, also because of the scarcity of water, we have to make use of this reclaimed water. And this need is going to become more and more important. And the one good use, as you can see here, is golf course irrigation. And golf courses, as we know, are very heavy users of water. And nowadays, I think in the Southwest area, there are a lot of golf courses that are irrigated solely by recycled water. So one question apparently is, what happens to these PPCP compounds when you irrigate the golf courses for a very long time? So what's the concern in terms of groundwater contamination? So again, as I say, this is a part of a much bigger project. And as you can see here, we're considering about 15 compounds. And my portion of this is really the lab experiments. Measuring sorption and desorption and half-lives of these chemicals in turfgrass soils. And also the other study I was assigned is to look at the plot-scale leaching of these chemicals under real conditions. Those are the compounds we have been considering. They include antibiotics, anticonvulsants, and some other chemicals, anti-inflammatory drugs, and some other chemicals. Most of them are pretty common. And these are the results on sorption. As you can see here, for a lot of these chemicals, their sorption is very minimal. And for some other chemicals, there was some sorption. But for the majority of the compounds, sorption is very weak. And this is set up for our field plot experiment. And these are the field plots, 12 by 12 feet, and they were built back in the 1990s, early 1990s, so they've been around for a long time. So which is good because these turfgrass plots are mature plots, so they can better simulate golf courses. But also the downside is you don't know what has happened over time. Since we have these pipes going underground where we can collect nitrate, for this study, we shipped water from a wastewater treatment plant stored in this tank. And then we retrofit the irrigation system so we irrigate only with the reused water. So this is basically the configuration. We had like five barrels buried in the middle of the plot, each plot. So then the drainage water after about 90 centimeters led to the side of this, then we can collect the leachate on a continuous basis. And This is how we run the samples. I'm not going to go into this, but we have to use, since we have a range of chemicals, we have to use both ESI positive, ESI negative. And here I just show you some examples. The chromatogram below is the standards. This is for ESI positive. Above is the source water, the reclaimed water. You can see the presence of these compounds at different concentrations. And this are for the ESI negative compounds. Again, you can see their presence in this water. So we ran our experiment for about five months. We started in early May. And actually, today is the day I told them to stop irrigating because it's getting cold, even in Riverside. So you can see here that air temperature is pretty high, has been pretty high. That's typical. And high, hot, and dry, no precipitation, just irrigation. So just want to show you some results of these compounds. The compounds are given on the x-axis. You know, it's hard to read. But you can see that we have these compounds, for example, they're all above 100 part per trillion in this water, source water. And they're there all the time. And also, for this group of compounds, we found them at somewhere between 10 and 100 parts per trillion. They're also always been found in this water. For these other chemicals, they were found at the lower level, especially for bisphenol A. It's kind of erratic because I guess probably because of the plumbing system, the irrigation system, because, you know, has plastic and stuff. So it's not very good. So now I'm going to show you the results in the nitrate, what we found. First of all, for trimethylprim, for example, we use two different irrigation rates. Okay, those are the IR1, IR2. One means 100% ET, IR2 is 130%. And then we have two different soils, and this is sandy loam. I'm going to show you a loamy sand. Both of them are very sandy. And the only one type of turf grass is Bermuda grass. So you can see that different plots give me different results, and we had two duplicates, okay? As again, these plots have been around for a long time. And you can see there has been some breakthrough for this compound, but on the other one, there's some breakthrough, but it's not very high. Then on and on, we have done this for 15 different compounds. We saw these chemicals in the nitrate for some of the compounds, but not for some of the other compounds. And for example, those are the chemicals we have found in the nitrate. But for the rest of the 10 or so compounds, there was no detection at all. And that's for the sandy loam. And we have seen very similar pictures for loamy sand, for example. Also, we happen to see the same compounds in the nitrate as well, as you can see here. So based on the concentration, to calculate removal, you can see that for 100% ET for this sandy loam soil, for example, for some of the compounds, the occurrence in the nitrate was pretty high. But majority of the compounds, they never made through the 90 centimeter profile. However, if you consider the nitrogen fraction, consider this is a very dry place. The nitrogen fraction is pretty small. And in terms of mass of breakthrough, it's pretty small, a few percent for this setup. And for 130, a little bit higher. But again, we saw the same chemicals. For a different soil, 100%, again, very little breakthrough for majority of the compounds. And even at 130% ET, very little breakthrough. So to conclude, first of all, we found most of the PPCPs in wastewater, treated wastewater, they showed very little sorption to soil. So you would imagine that they should have an easy time to go through the soil profile to go into the groundwater. And most PPCPs were found in the source water. In this case, it's the treated wastewater. And some compounds were found at higher concentrations. Some of the compounds were found at relatively low concentrations. But these compounds were found in the source water all the time, except maybe for ibuprofen and estrone, which is not very stable, from what I understand. And also, we should say that for most of the PPCPs, they were not found, but for some of the PPCP, like trimethoprim, sulfamethoxazole, and those are antibiotics, and primidone and carbamazepine, those were the four compounds that were found in the nitrate pretty often. However, when detected, the concentrations were not very high, normally less than 30 ppt, and also the mass fraction was small, like a few percent. So from that, we can tell that turf grass, you know, that's one message we want to promote, is a very effective biofilter. And so we think the removal for most of these compounds is likely due to biodegradation. That's something we're going to look into. We're looking into, and we'll have data later on. So again, as I said, the funding support for this huge project was provided by many sanitation districts and also NCGA and through Water Reuse Foundation. Thank you.